on the president of Armenia's Wikipedia page.
Why are you reading the Wikipedia page?
On the president's Wikipedia page, it's got Wordtris. Welcome to New Game Plus, a retro gaming podcast where three guys spend 7 days playing one old game and then we talk about it. My name's Dustin.
My name's Kenny.
Nolan.
And you are listening to and or watching episode 258. The Game Award nominees have been announced. There are, of course, different categories, but the one that we are going to talk about is Game of the Year.
Not Streamer.
Is that what they actually call whatever award this is? Just Game Award?
The Game Awards. Yes.
That's the worst name for an award.
And also, you're a gaming podcaster. We've been doing this for 5 years now. You probably aren't hearing about this for the very first time. What would
capital
you call
G,
it?
Capital G, capital A? No, like, that's problematic.
Do you think I'm saying the Gay Awards?
No.
What? Then what? It's
call it
accurately
something.
Describing
you have the Oscars and the Academy Awards and like actual things. Calling it the Game Awards is just they're phoning it in.
Why did he make sure to capitalize the letters?
I was saying it's only problematic if that is the title of the actual like event or award. If you're just describing Game Awards, it's not a problem.
I don't know what he's talking about at all.
No, I know what he's talking about. It's really dumb. Yes, Kenny. But that's not even the argument. See, that's what it is. Like, we've got a place to go, and instead of going there, we're talking about they shouldn't call it that. Well,
okay,
what should
wait,
we do
we,
about
now
it?
Now we have to. What should they call it?
I can
it?
Write an angry letter to someone.
Kenny, what should they call it?
Anything else.
No, I need an answer.
Kenny? Okay, so the anything else awards.
Okay, they should call it.
Wow, it's almost
I'm thinking,
like.
It's hard to come up with a name. Interesting. But they could have spent more than the 3 seconds I just spent.
They should call it Miss Universe.
Kenny, you fired. All right. The six titles that they've put up for Game of the Year are as follows. Doom Eternal, Final Fantasy VII Remake, Ghost of Tsushima, Animal Crossing New Horizons, The Last of Us Part II, and Hades.
Hades. I knew you were going to
say
that.
Dude, really? Hades is in there.
Made it up there with all of those triple A top tier titles.
What if it won?
I love it.
What if it
won? I'm rooting for them so hard.
Not only what if it won, like it deserves to be there and it might possibly, I don't think, man, there's some huge titles there.
There's some really big titles.
It's not going to surpass The Last of Us Part II. It won't.
Here's the thing. That was such a split audience, though. Mm-hmm. I know a lot of people that didn't like it because of some of the decisions that were made with the story. But I know Final Fantasy VII Remake isn't going to win. I didn't play Ghost of Tsushima. I don't know much about it. Do y'all?
No.
I know a few people who played it and have been very impressed. It's supposed to be beautiful and really good. I think it has a shot.
What if Hades won?
I know Animal Crossing New Horizons came at the right time. On the right year for the right people,
yep.
But the majority of people still aren't playing it, and
right,
and it wears off, you know,
there's
fairly quickly.
Yeah,
Doom Eternal is great, but that's not going to win. So yeah, I guess it is down to The Last of Us Part II and Hades,
dude. If it won,
if it's
that
just
would be
between
so
the
good.
Two of those, I think they'll give it to Doom Eternal.
Really,
I just feel like there was lots of hype.
Well, yeah,
I hope they give it to Hades. Either way, the game I want to win has, and I think deserves to win, has an underworld theme. Doom?
Doom Eternal or Hades?
Or Hades.
Really good, Kenny. Today you're on fire.
Oh.
Hades.
Kenny is addicted to Hades. It's a problem.
Okay. He is, but it's good because it's a good game to be addicted to.
I'm not addicted, but it's okay. Yeah, I'm addicted.
You are. Yeah, you definitely are.
Nolan, out of those six titles, which one do you think deserves it? Which one would you give it to?
Oh, I can't really answer because I haven't played any of those games except for Animal Crossing and Hades.
I've actually played three of the games. I mean, technically four of the games on this list, which is impressive because that's not typically my year.
That's
in review.
Pretty. Yeah, that's not bad. But to answer your question, Hades, because that's hype, and I would love that for the name of that developer that I remember.
Super Giant Games.
Super Giant Box. Yeah.
I think we're all in agreement. I haven't played Hades either. I've watched it some, think it's beautiful, think it's creative. I love the company. I played Bastion and Transistor. I want Final Fantasy VII Remake to win. I thought it was amazing and gets Game of the Year for me, but it's not Game of the Year. But also, Hades isn't better than Final Fantasy VII Remake. I don't know. Hey, listener, viewer, watcher, what do you think? Let us know. We'd love to know what your thoughts are, and then we'll know, I guess, in a couple weeks when they make the decision. But they've announced Streamer of the Year, the nominees for composer, soundtrack, all of these things. I think Final Fantasy VII Remake could win the soundtrack, but there's a lot of really cool categories. Go and check them out. I love that these six titles are really, really good titles. It's absolutely puzzling how good the games were this year. So many of them deserving Game of the Year. I'm at a loss for words.
Were those puns? You got to spell it out for me because I don't catch them when they're that subtle.
Let me do one.
A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Like in our retro Game of the Week, Wordtress.
Overview.
Wordtress is a 1991/1992 puzzle game. It was designed by Armin, Sergey, and Vyacheslav.
Nailed.
So, I'm sure you nailed that.
I know my Russian.
It was developed by the president of Armenia.
Is that legitimate?
Wait, real?
I swear. Google it. The guy's name that you just read, Armin
Sarkissian?
Sarkissian is the current president of Armenia.
But like, is that a super common name? Is this a, you know, is this a Jose Garcia situation?
No. like seriously, on the president of Armenia's Wikipedia page. Also, there's like six different spellings because...
Why are you reading the Wikipedia page?
On the president's Wikipedia page, it's got Wordtress.
It says Sargsyan was one of the co-creators of the 1991 Tetris spinoff game Wordtress. Wordtress was developed by the president of Armenia.
For real?
This is a one-of-a-kind game, then.
Trivia about any game we've played.
Could we all just take a moment to salute?
Yes. Thank you for your service. I don't know how the country's running, so I do not endorse that because I don't know this person, but that was cool.
I think Petra's from Armenia, right, guys?
Yeah, her last name is
Arcanian, something like that. Ender's Game reference. So it was, yes, designed by this Russian crew /Armenian/ I don't know if those are the same, different, or close together.
Wow.
But the R in the title, the second R in the title, is reversed. And there is the like hammer and sickle on the loading
screen. I saw that and I was like, whoa.
That until you said it. It's like real overt.
Oh, it's real overt. It was published by Spectrum Holobyte, which I said last week, our internet provider. Thank you, Spectrum. We salute you again. It first came out on the IBM PC platform. And then it was ported to Game Boy and Super Nintendo. We primarily played the Game Boy version this week, I believe, but I did get some experience with the Super Nintendo version this week. Regardless of which version we spent the most time with, they are all practically the same, with only slight differences to looks and theme, but gameplay identical.
Okay. Real-time ported the game, yes, to Game Boy from SNES. That was the original release, because I'm actually still confused.
No, from PC.
No,
from PC,
like what I just said,
SNES.
Then the game was released for the Game Boy, which was ported by Real Time Associates and the Super Nintendo.
Ah, sorry.
It's all right. It's a Tetris offshoot, which is disrespectful to Tetris.
But as surprising, considering the game's name is Wordtress.
Yes.
Right, which is not good. Here's what we have.
I don't know if that's as bad as Game Awards, but it's
we
bad.
Have what we call the modern age clout chaser. Tetris came out, super successful, best puzzler of all time.
And hey, you're saying
I'm the president. I could just make a game with the same name almost, kind of, and just change it to words. It's a thumbnail rip. It's clickbait.
Should we invite the president of Armenia to be on our podcast?
Do you know Spanish? Tetris is not a good game.
Did you say Tetris?
Yes.
I'm clicking stop on the recording.
I just quit.
We're done.
I quit.
I don't know why y'all like it.
It's one of the best video games literally of all time.
Says no one.
Except every person.
Everybody. Except maybe Armin's. And sanity and history.
Listen.
Why do you think that?
I don't know if you've ever been so wrong.
I've said this before. Y'all don't act like this is new. I've never liked Tetris. I've never liked Dr. Mario. I always bring it up and y'all say, yes, Dr. Mario is not good. But I think it's the same as Tetris, basically.
It's not.
And
you're so wrong.
You're hurting me.
And then a group of Russians got together and said, let's make Tetris worse. And they created this game, which is not like Tetris. But think Tetris for just a moment so I can make one little comparison so I can help you know what Wordtris is like. In Tetris, you have falling shapes that you must put into place at the bottom of the screen. Once you make a row or not a column, just a row. It clears out that row. In Wordtris, you have falling letters. They are single blocks, like what you have to play that board game called.
I'm out.
Scrabble. Scrabble.
You have single letters come down. They don't have point values attached. And you have to land them not on the bottom of the screen, but on the middle of the screen. And you try to make word combinations out of the letters of three letters or more, either horizontal or vertical. Once you do, those letters clear.
So maybe less like Scrabble and more like Boggle, except that you have to have straight line words.
What's Boggle?
It's another word puzzle board game.
The more letters and words that you get on a stage, the more points that you get. And on the Super Nintendo version, at least, you're playing levels A through J, and the difficulty, the speed increases
it's on
each
theme,
time.
A through J.
A through J, right. But they didn't go to the end.
So somehow we're going to talk about gameplay?
Right. We've got to stop there, because if we talk any more, we're done with the gameplay section, which we're not even to yet.
Gameplay.
I think I can maybe explain the gameplay just in different phrasing to make it sound fresh.
And then Kenny can do it just so we can have a long podcast.
Okay. It's offensive Tetris.
Tetris is offensive. As in like...
offensive, like you hurt my feelings.
Okay. Okay. I thought you meant like as in like going after somebody, like not playing defense, but offense.
Is it ever really used that way in the way that I just used it, Kenny?
Sure.
You know what? Let's not get derailed, sidetracked. I could give you other words for bigger point values.
It's true. That's the best way I can describe it. You're spelling for fun. And the speed of the game, like, okay, when you think Tetris, they give you the shapes and they slowly fall and then it gets faster and faster over time. This game, I feel like, should have been sped up more earlier because to make it spicy, because if you don't have that, like just watch Kenny's first play. It's the most boring first play of all time. Not Kenny's fault.
It was a little bit my fault.
No, it wasn't. You did the best that you could, Kenny.
I didn't.
There's only so much value you can get in watching letters fall slowly and someone having to think of where to place them.
Right. So if it was a little more chaotic, then at least it would be kind of silly and a little more fun. And I wouldn't fall asleep trying to spell the word like butt cheek.
You can't. It wouldn't accept
that.
There's
not enough space.
There's a sensor.
Yes,
did y'all try to
sensor.
Spell cuss words?
I think Kenny did in the first play.
I accidentally spelled two sort of adulty content words.
Say them.
No,
but here's my adult content. I was trying to spell the word beer, B-E-E-R. That should be fine, but it only gave me B.
It's
B-E-E.
It's illegal in Armenia.
An Armenium?
No, I don't think the word dictionary is super good.
Super good.
I need to play this game again.
Just because I'm not literate doesn't mean I can't have an input on games that have to do with literacy.
Wow, this guy. You need to play the game again, Kenny, and learn a thing or two.
We haven't said a few things here. I did mention in the overview that your letters are dropping to the middle of the screen.
Right.
Right.
Which there's a lighter color top and a darker color bottom. Once a letter lands on top of another letter, it pushes it down one row.
Yep.
And that continues until it gets to the bottom. I had to test this because I didn't know, but you don't lose once it gets to the bottom. It's just then the column can't move down anymore. It starts building up higher. If it reaches the top, you lose. So it's trying to get creative. It's trying to get a little silly. It's trying to be like, ooh, Tetris, but better. But no.
Well, I'm just like, so the challenge is it's feeding you words. You can see the next letters. You can see the next letter in the corner of the screen, like in Tetris.
So you
can
plan out. If you have it set to play that way.
Okay.
But those are the normal settings.
Right.
Right. You can turn that off. What is that? Type B?
Yeah, you can turn that off. You can turn difficulty up so you get different speed. You can get,
right, I knew that.
Like, there's a whole bunch of customization you can do, actually.
Well, it like Tetris, you can see the next one so you can plan a little bit, but what's the goal? You spell the letter, it gives you some points, and then it disappears. It's just not as satisfying as getting a Tetris, as getting a line in Tetris. Like, the fun of this game is not there, and it's not an edutainment game. It's a puzzle game.
So tell me that you've set it up perfectly. You have one letter fall so that a word completes that moves another row up that gives you another complete word. And
that never happened.
That never happened. You're tripping.
But it can. Like, no, it can't.
Theoretically.
Tetris, that was a cool move, payoff things.
It can if the computer algorithms were set correctly to give you enough vowels, but mainly you're going to be playing this game with too many consonants, stacking so many C's, S's, and Z's so that you can't possibly do anything when you get the one E.
So you just stack your C's and your S's and your R's because
that was my strategy.
There's no other. Yeah, Kenny did it too because there's, what are you going to do? Just have like two R's everywhere or three?
I don't think it was the best strategy. I felt like my early attempts, I definitely didn't do as well as later attempts. And sometimes I would stack and sometimes I wouldn't. But I definitely wish there was more vowels, for sure. They could have quality of life, even like having you earn the way to like request a vowel or
what you think this something. Is the Wheel of Fortune?
I didn't say buy it.
Speaking of, there is a word on the screen that if you can spell it, it will totally clear the board. I think, Kenny, you got that on your first play, didn't you?
I did. I was intrigued by the word that was in the top corner. So I was like, why don't I spell it and see what happens? And that's actually a really important mechanic here, because normally when you finish a level, your words, your letters that you've stacked up, like, go with you. So the only way after you start a game to get a full reset is to spell that bonus word.
Yeah.
Which is Tetris. So when you get a Tetris in Tetris, it clears not the whole board, but it clears whatever the rows are.
Sure. It's your Tetris.
Well, they're copying.
Not only do you have letters, you have a few other blocks that will periodically show up. You have a bomb that will clear a letter. Or a dynamite stick that clears a series of letters?
Yeah. I thought there's two different ones. Things. I feel like one does a row and one does like a whole section of rows, something like that.
Something like that. You also have a question mark, which what do y'all think that is?
Oh, well, at first I thought it was punctuation and I was like, wait.
That's so funny. No one's up here trying to ask questions.
I was like, why? And then
you
are
like, why? That's so perfect.
Nice.
It's not that.
And so what is it?
It's a random letter.
Okay, Kenny, what is
it? Now, the first time I saw it, I thought it was going to be wild. Like, I assumed this is helpful. it's going to be the thing I can drop into any fancy word I've got going, and whatever I'm missing,
and
it's
going to
just give me the letter I need. I assumed wild card, and I was like, cool, that's a neat mechanic. And I drop it in, and instead of giving me exactly the letter it needs, just chooses a random letter, and I'm pretty sure I got like an X or something right in the middle of like a six-letter word, and it ruined my life.
Yep.
So you thought it was going to know what you were wanting?
Dude, that's giving that's it a lot hard. Of credit.
That's not a hard thing to program. No, it's
and
not.
So when you, so Kenny, when you realized it wasn't that, what was it?
Right, it's a random letter.
Okay, wrong.
What? It's always an X?
No.
What? Oh,
it is a random letter. Nope. Shut up, Kenny. It's my turn. You had your opportunity. Oh,
you go.
It is a random letter if you allow the question mark to fall onto your play board. But if on its way down, you use your A or B that is on your Game Boy, you can cycle through the entire alphabet alphabetically. So with A, it starts with A. And if you want to get to somewhere in the middle, you better be tapping very fast. And if you press B, it starts with Z. And you can, and so that's actually, it actually becomes from something that's maybe not helpful at all, the opposite of that, to being something that could be helpful because you can at least get to A, E, because those are close to the front of the alphabet.
That makes a lot of sense. Didn't know it.
Yeah.
Would have helped. It would have helped.
It would have. And you could have picked a vowel to get the occasional extra vowel to get you by.
Yeah, that's huge. That's huge. But I didn't know that. And
I didn't for the longest time either. That's why I was asking it in that way and setting it up, because it kind of presents itself as what we all said, a random letter. And that kind of makes sense. But no, you can have somewhat control over it. However, that's such a bad idea still, because the alphabet is 37 or some odd letters long.
You gotta be a speed runner, man. You gotta be.
Yeah. On the higher speeds where these words are coming at you pretty quick, can you imagine trying to get to exactly the letter you needed?
I take back what I said about the speed needing to be amped up from the beginning.
Also, y'all didn't call me out for saying 37 letters of the alphabet. I know that it's 29, everybody, so please back up.
I thought it was 37.
This game.
What?
Is difficult. Because words, and you only have the letters that are given to you, and then you have to set them up and just have the perfect board when the letter comes. However, it can be easier if you do what I did.
What's that? Have a dictionary?
Guys, press pause. The pause screen does not take you to a separate pause screen, doesn't put an overlay like it should. It just freezes the game as is. So with each and every letter that you have, you can have an infinite amount of time to know where you want to place it. Is that fun? No. Does it help you do better? Theoretically. Is that what I did all week? Absolutely.
Jeez. That's a
good
idea. That
sounds like you made the game less fun for yourself.
I did pause the game, but I did not think to do that for
you
some
didn't
reason.
Abuse it, though?
Yeah, I should have. But
all week I was running that Game Shark cheat and pressing that pause button picking where I wanted my letters to go. It still wasn't fun. Kenny, you said it makes it less fun. There's some threshold that you just can't surpass at a certain point.
I guess. I feel like you guys are going to just like really, really ream this game, and it probably deserves some amount of reaming. But to some degree,
I'm going to rem it.
Word puzzles are like a common, popular, appealing kind of puzzle. And finding a relaxed, just sit down and casually play a word puzzle kind of game isn't the worst concept for a game that I've ever heard of.
Grab a newspaper and play crosswords, or grab your phone and play. What was the cool phone word game that
Snake.
We played, Nolan? No.
Snake.
No.
Words with that. Friends.
Words with friends. There's so many other things than Wordtris. I'm sorry, Sir President.
Oh, yeah. Sorry, respects. The only like interesting thing that I can offer from my experience with playing this game is that on the fly decision making, I constantly was changing what I wanted to use the letter for, which I think is interesting. And I watched Kenny do it, and it makes it kind of fun because you're like, you had your heart set on spelling this one word, but then you get an opportunity to spell something else and you're like, okay, I'm going to go for that. That is a good mechanic. And I did experience some of that if it was intended. I'm done saying something nice. I'm going back to rimming.
Reaming. You would know if you played Wordtress, my friend. Did either of you keep track of your scores? Did you know how well you did?
Super well.
Not super well?
Yeah.
I wonder if we were the three of us were competing, who would be better? I didn't keep track either. Why? No one.
I mean, if we'd really committed, I'm more likely confident to go into a word puzzle black hole and get enjoyment out of it and like weirdly strategize and optimize than you guys, I think.
I'm an editor. My profession.
I have pause tactics. What, like we all have something up our sleeves.
I have a secret weapon.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Not going to tell you what it is either.
Aged. So Game Boy is a really, unique era. And I feel like there's a natural fit of like simple puzzle mechanic to take with you, have it in the pocket. You're waiting at the bus station and need to kill some time. And so I feel like the fit is a good fit for the console. Game Boy doesn't have the best graphics in the world, but this isn't a game that depends on super good graphics. Some like robust music would be nice, but ultimately the type of game it is sort of fits the type of limitations that sometimes come with playing Game Boy games, you know, in 2020. And so to some degree, there's just a natural, like the simplicity of this game makes it age pretty easily. Like the game is as good today as it was then.
So you're saying that this was a good idea for a Game Boy game?
It's the right kind of game to put on a Game Boy. Absolutely.
I can agree with that, I think. But it wasn't originally for the Game Boy. They ported it. But I think it makes sense when you look at the catalog of games for the Game Boy. Tetris, that's the one I played. It fits perfectly on the Game Boy. It's a perfect mobile game. So this one's like in the category, obviously, but like, I mean, the idea is there, the execution just wasn't. And so like the enjoyment that I get from playing a 2020, a game where I'm spelling, is just not, it's clearly not aged well. Like there's no debate.
Here's the deal. I didn't mind listening to the Game Boy version, but I hated listening to the Super Nintendo version.
Why was it clown themed?
Okay, so y'all know, yeah, it was not just clown themed. It was like the Acrobat themed. It was like
ASMR.
ASMR. It was the whole theme of circus again, which they had to gather together and say, "Hey, how do we make this game worse?" and put it to a circus theme. Which by that they just had grating circus music, and on the side had an ugly picture of
scary,
a clown or a fire breather.
Yeah, it was really disturbing. Like I paused from the Game Boy game at one point to go check out the Super Nintendo because I knew it was on both, and I was like, Super Nintendo, it might look awesome, it might sound awesome, cool, like this could be great. And in every possible way, it was worse than the Game Boy game, which is really hard to do.
It's hard to distinguish sometimes between what was originally bad and what aged poorly. And I think that's my problem here, is that I think that it was poorly crafted from the beginning.
Oh, I do too.
But then I do think it ages poorly. I think Game Boy, I think kind of like what y'all are saying, is the right console for some of these quick minimalist puzzle games. I mean, that's why Tetris was on it and others. I think, was Mario Picross on the Game Boy? And there were other Game Boy, handheld is perfect for that. That's why puzzle games thrive on mobile devices.
They're on the go style games. They work.
Even with Word, I think Word games work. We've already talked about Words with Friends. There was a reason why that worked. I just think the premise of this game from the beginning, trying to tether it so closely to Tetris, did not do it any favors. It just made it a far worse Tetris. And the cover of the Wordtress thing says it's Tetris made letter perfect.
Don't say that.
Yeah.
No.
Don't say that.
When you're
someone should
like
have
you're better than something that's awesome.
Someone
like,
should have screamed.
Let's make a platformer and say an even better Mario. Like, even if you think it is, you don't say that.
No. No. Let's make a game and say it's Skyrim, but perfect.
You're
totally right. Puzzles work well handheld. Tetris works great handheld. And this was trying to like riff off of that. But yes. Word games traditionally, I feel like, lend themselves to PC. Having the keyboard when you're playing a word game, the difference between like, I want to pick this random wildcard letter and I have to hit A, you know, 47 times or however many letters we decided are in the alphabet, or right. I can just hit a button and it's done, is totally different. And so even there, though I think the idea of the game sort of worked, like, it's not like it's a perfect fit.
I have to say, no cap, the music's okay. For Game Boy,
agreed.
Game Boy tends to be pretty piercing. The chip tunes can make your ears hurt pretty bad. And some games really do. Some good games are guilty of that. Tetris is known for having excellent music and very recognizable, but it's also very easy listening. Like it just sounds good on the console. I think they copied Tetris in the correct way when it came to the soundtrack, because soundtrack, let's not call it that, to the music. I thought it fit what you're doing. It fit the puzzle environment, and it wasn't bad. It was kind of smooth.
Yeah. Here's what I'd say. There's some Game Boy chiptune style games that I will mute because they're obnoxious. There's some that I'll turn them up because they're popping. Tetris, for example. Like, literally, I could listen to that original music no matter how, you know, like 8-bitty it is, and totally love it. And then there's games like this one where I'm okay with just leaving it on and at the volume it is. It was pretty good. Like, the melodies didn't blow me away. It wasn't like there was a huge variety or anything. But, yeah, I certainly didn't, like, run away from it. They did all right there.
Well, I mean, the reason, the composer's name is Paul Mog, and that guy did Super Tetris for the PC version.
Yeah, but which country is he the president of?
America.
A little bit confused here. Paul Mog just did the Super Nintendo soundtrack. Ed Bogus, I don't know, did the PC and Game Boy version. And so, but he has done, he's a composer that has done some incredible pieces too. Like, he's worked on the Peanuts television specials, like This Is America, Charlie Brown, and others. He did the Garfield stuff when it was on television. He also worked on Super Tetris and other things too. So, like, both of those guys, I guess, have some high credits to their names.
Yes, yeah, so many famous people worked on this game.
Yeah.
Do you think that now that we've done a podcast about this game that we're destined to be famous?
No. And I'll tell you why.
These past 5 years? I mean, is that the, the reason?
Yeah. It's not looking good.
Yeah. Everything, I don't know. I think everything just ages poorly because it began poorly. And the music, I agree with you guys. Music is fine. But the it's not even, it's just, what do we say? It's not like they're trying to create great graphics. They created a letter.
There are no graphics. You're looking at a computer screen, essentially, of a retro looking computer screen. It's just two toned and it's just fun.
Honestly, whoever created letters really should get the credit for this game. So I don't know. Is that like
God Almighty?
God, amen. The game for Game Boy, a little cartridge, only $7. If you want the cartridge and the little booklet in the box, if you want the full package, that's $25. And that's about the same for Super Nintendo, except just even slightly cheaper. $6 for the cartridge, $20 for the entire brand new game, which is so cheap.
That should tell you a lot about.
No one wants it, even collectors.
Final thoughts.
At the end of each and every one of our episodes, we determine whether or not the game gets our vote for New Game Plus status, which is our general thumbs up or thumbs down. It does require 2/3 of the vote to swing one way or the other. Nolan, would you please start us off?
I'll spell it out for you.
Ooh.
N-O. Get out. It's Tetris made better, really? We're an offshoot of Tetris.
I think they said Tetris made word perfect, just to be fair.
Oh, right. So they wanted to use the word Tetris and perfect and made in the same sentence. Come on. Come on. You can't do that. You can't make a Mario game and call it Wario. I mean,
no, they did.
Nintendo
they
did.
But
you can't do that. You can't make a Metroid and call it Wetroid and then it then be like, it's Metroid, but you know, we did it. We just spiced it up. We didn't like Metroid, put our spin on it. Come on.
If you're the president, I would say you could. Kenny,
I'm sorry, Mr. President.
Kenny, do you fall on the other side? Ball's in your court. The words in your... Yeah.
Okay, I'll spell it out for you.
No, are we doing it? We're doing it over and over again?
G... P.
Shut up. You're lying.
I don't know how to say negative or minus. Yeah, it doesn't get New Game Plus. It gets New Game. Nah. The concept's fine.
No.
A word puzzle game on that's sit down and play is okay as a concept. It works well for Game Boy. It's sort of future proof in ways other games aren't. But riffing on Tetris. Again, like, you get it. It was popular. They're trying to make some money. And apparently, you make a game like this and you can rule the world. So maybe I have no room to talk, but it wasn't a good enough game. It's pretty boring. It's not super easy. There's some quality of life issues, even if we did like it, that just make it a no. I like word games. I like puzzles. I want to like the concept here, but I could not get behind it.
Well, then it doesn't really matter what I say. So I'll say, President, I love your game, your ingenuity, your creativity. Thank you for your service.
Brown noser.
Dude. Thank you for your service to this country. Take care of Petra, please, and the kids.
That's actually what's in my notes. I called it Armenian excellence, and I have to hand it to the president.
I have to hand it
and
to the president.
And then I looked up what well done means in Armenian.
Because our rankings, whatever we give it right here, get tracked for future people, for all of our future listeners to look at on our Retro Master List, I can't even jokingly give it my pass because now that the president isn't listening anymore, this game's garbage. It started garbage. It aged garbage. It's a bad idea. Can there be a puzzle game for the Game Boy that is great? Sure. This isn't it. And Tetris is far better than this, even though...
Don't say it.
Even though. So that means that all three of us say no to Wordtris. It is not New Game Plus certified. But what do you think? We had many write in. I'll include a few of those commentaries right here. Clint said the tagline for this game is, it's Tetris made letter perfect. But it should really just say, it's Tetris made worse. Honestly, I wouldn't really even call this Tetris. It shares virtually no common aspects.
A-S-P-E-C-T-S.
Congratulations. That's it. Lieutenant Pat X said, this game commits the worst crime a Tetris/puzzle game can. It's more effective turning your brain off and randomly dropping letters, resulting in an instant win most of the time. The neat idea is destroyed by an awful dropping mechanic, stacking the falling letters instead of having them lining up below the already present letter. This would have fixed the confusing gameplay by a lot. Presentation is as exciting as buying a new toothbrush. While the MS-DOS version looks the best, there is nothing appealing in terms of visual or audio that elevates the experience. In short, this is the worst Tetris game I played ever. No NGP.
Okay, here's the thing.
What's the thing?
Sometimes I really like picking out a new toothbrush.
Well, I was going to say, I don't buy them. Dentist for free.
Who goes to the dentist in 2020?
I haven't been in 2 years.
Ugh. Jafar said, this is the second week in a row of excitement for the Game Boy, getting some love, followed by disappointment with subpar games for it. The Game Boy library is about 50% puzzler, and most of them better than Wordtress. I got a higher score this week by randomly dropping tiles than during a methodical playthrough. The SNES version is at least had better visuals with its bizarre circus theme, and if Acro the Acrobat has taught us anything, it's that you can't go wrong with a circus theme. No NGP for me.
Was his name Acro?
Acro that... Was it?
Yikes.
Acro the Acrobat?
If it was, that's so bad.
Arrow the Acrobat.
Arrow, yeah, that's right. Oh. Hey, that's two people in a row that said they just randomly dropped tiles and got more success. Did either of you try that tactic this week?
No.
but I feel like logically and mathematically, you'd have to be really, really bad at this game for that to be true.
This isn't a math game. It's an English game, actually. Kenny? Garlisle, finally, I think the one that submitted this game in the first place.
Thanks.
Said, this is one of the stranger discoveries of my childhood, and it was the surreal Super Nintendo version. If nothing else, it is a unique spin. It's easy to see it as a Tetris clone, especially due to its name, but no other arcade-style puzzle game has pieces with as many possible interactions as the English language itself. Admittedly, for probably good reason. As the game speeds up, it'll become harder and harder to plan and can feel like you're surviving by accident rather than having time to process your move, and that's where it sort of falls apart for me. There are definitely strategic, patterned ways to play that are neat to learn and let you play at those speeds. But I think the most fun is when it's early and you're able to puzzle out every letter drop. It's the one puzzle game that I don't want to have speed up, which is the opposite of what you said, Nolan.
Well, all you gotta do is hit start then.
Yeah.
Pause cheat. It, dude. It's, hey, that is not in the rules that you can't do that. So
C-H-E-A-T-E-R. Hey, thanks all for submitting the game, I guess.
Thanks for submitting the game. Thank you for submitting your commentary. You can do that each and every week to ngppodcast@gmail.com or join us in Discord and you can submit your commentary in the commentary channel there. Don't send us thoughts on Wordtress anymore. We don't want to think about that or talk about it. In fact, we're setting the game aside and we're randomly selecting the next retro game of the week from our expansive retro master list out of those 1,000 plus, 2,000 plus, I don't even know what number it is at anymore, titles. Million. Of 15 games that are 15 years old or older, we are randomly selecting the next game now. We're playing a game that originally came out in Japan for the Super Famicom in 1995. We are, however, playing the re-released version that came out for the PlayStation in 1997. Wasn't remade. The music was enhanced. I believe that was about the only thing that took place as it came over to the States. It is the second game in its series, in its franchise, featuring many dramatically different gameplay elements from its predecessor. It is a tactical role-playing game created by Quest, published for the PlayStation by Atlus. The game is called Tactics Ogre, Let Us Cling Together.
Huh. Is it actually ogres?
I would imagine there are ogres in there. However, on the front cover and any of the gameplay stills that I'm seeing, there is not a single ogre.
I should have put Shrek
on
it.
This may not be the game I'm thinking of. There's an old tactics game I remember from childhood that was like ogres.
Ogres Gone Wild is what you played.
He's not thinking of that. The stills look picture perfect to Final Fantasy Tactics or Advance.
Really?
One of those two. I get them confused sometimes. Whoa. Like, it looks absolutely identical. I mean, little characters, it's the strategy stuff. It's the characters moving on square platforms where then they get in battles and
it's Final Fantasy Tactics made ogre perfect.
Ogre perfect. That is what it says on the cover right here. I see that. So, hey, find a copy of Tactics Ogre. Let Us Cling Together for the PlayStation and play it along with us this week.
Chat with us this week inside of our Discord server. by going to ngppodcast.com and clicking join us in Discord. We need to get to 500 members. We need the NGP army 500 strong so we can storm the gates of any Hades. Enemy that would ever challenge us. Currently, we're neutral. But if any other podcast starts like talking smack, we can hit them. So
that's not a bad idea. Hey, hold on. Should we get in a feud with another podcast?
Yeah, like start a
Absolutely.
War.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think so.
Let's pick a big one. Dixie D'Amelio and her sister Charlie just started a podcast this last week. Y'all are fools.
Who are those?
Should I know those people? Good. That was good, Kenny.
We'll release an official statement challenging them. So you want to? We need your help, is what I'm saying.
Also, Barstool Sports, y'all suck.
Ooh. Big thank you to our newest patron who decided to join a growing group of people that support us on patreon.com. I'm going to butcher your name, so I'm sorry, but thank you for your support. Soinfis.
How's it spelled?
That's how you're going to pronounce that?
Soinfis?
Fuss, Soinfis. I would think. Can you Soinfis. Spell it out?
I can, and that'd be thematically appropriate considering the game of the week. S-O-I-N-F-U-S. Thank you so much for your support. Also, a big thanks to all of our producer-level supporters, Marlian, Austin, Ben, Brojim, Carrie, David, Dear Baby, Francesca, Corey, Maxima, Shauna, and Zion. You guys are the best.
Yes. As well as our director.
Carlisle.
You can
You're also
find
the
us
best, on- even though you did this game to us.
You can find us on our social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Twitch, as well as YouTube. Those links are in the show notes. Listen directly on any podcast provider of your choice. Make sure you subscribe so that you are the first to get new NGP episodes. And while you're at it, leave a kind rating and review. This episode was edited and produced by our good friend Tom Tate. Join us next week as we play Tactics Ogre, Let Us Cling Together. Until then, I'm still D-U-S-T-I-N.
I refuse to spell.
I'm considering playing World of Warcraft for the first time.
And this has been NGP.
P.